Oh, let's just decide Scottie Pippen decides to get all whacked. And they decide not to strive with the team, but they do their own thing and they get kicked out of the game. And they bring dishonor to the good name of basketball and to their reputation of their team. Well, let's just suppose you've got a football team. You got 11 guys out on the field. And three of them decide, shoot, I'm tired. They sit down on their big old behinds. Right in the middle of a play. And at that moment, just that moment, they've been doing really well, but just at that moment, they sat down. Junior Seau comes and breaks Warren Moon's ribs. Puts him out of the game because somebody decided to slough off. Now, men and women, I got to tell you, if God wasn't God with the patience that he had, he'd be having conniption fits. He'd resigned a long time ago. Because we got a Christian world that is so disunited, it's sickening. And then we just look at local churches. Local churches can't even stick together. We can't even get everybody on the same page. Paul, you know, it's very interesting about the first century. These people were focused. They were focused. But Paul brings them into focus. Paul brought them into focus. He says, I want to know that you're striving together as one man. The word literally means in concert, in harmony, united together. The Wiest Bible, which is a more literal Greek translation, says, I want you to be striving together as a team of athletes. You ever played tug of war over a big pit of mud? It doesn't get really real till you play over a pit of mud. And three people decide their little hands hurt and they decide to stop pulling. You know what happens, don't you? You start all going to the mud. You may think to yourself, well, you know, my actions don't affect the whole. They sure do. Your actions affect all of us. Jimmy Swaggart's actions affect all of us. Jim Baker's actions affected all of us. Do you know how many Billy Grahams it takes to make up for those two guys? You know how hard that man's had to work for his reputation? And the extremes that he goes? Do you know that he doesn't go to any motel alone? And he never even goes up to his own room. People check it because he's had naked women waiting in his rooms. You know what extent that man has gone to for his reputation, the reputation of the Savior? How serious are you about God's reputation? See, why should the world give a hoot what we have to say when we often live such paltry lives and we make excuses for it? We got the God of the universe lives in us. He made us brand new. We got all the power in the world. The Bible says in 1 Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and of self-discipline. There are no excuses. You just may severely lack focus. You may lack focus, and I'm here to give you focus. I'm here to tell you that God wants us contending together for the faith of the gospel. He wants us making a statement to the world by our love for one another. Jesus said, by this will all men know you're my disciples. You know, my wife and I refused for years. I remember my first daughter was born and we lived in a sorority, the Alpha Chi Omega house in Ames, Iowa. And she was a little honorary Alpha Chi. And my wife and I, we were the cooks in the sorority and we lived in the house. And there was a young woman there who was in child development. And she wanted to interview us. So she came down one day. And little Celeste was playing on her little blanket there as we talked. We did this two-hour interview. And we didn't have a screaming, whacked-out baby on her hands, you know, a little kid on her hands. She was good. We sat there and we did this interview, and this woman asked her, what do you really want to teach your children? What philosophy are you using? I said, well, you know, there's really one primary thing we want to get across to our kids, and that's to love other people like God loves them. To treat other people with kindness and respect and to make an impact on their lives. She kind of looked at us. She was just stunned. She said, I never heard such a thing. I never heard such a thing. I said, you know, her name was Anita. I said, Anita, Probably one of the most important lessons we want to teach our little children is to love their siblings. We will just not tolerate the I hate you concept, the stupid, dummy, idiot stuff. We won't tolerate it. See, we're telling you right off the bat. We won't tolerate it. We won't tolerate it. It's just not going to happen. Sure enough, you know, the kids grew up and they're best friends. In fact, I've told my children this. I've said, no, I want to tell you a lesson. When I can sense sometimes there's a little strife between them, I'll sit them down. I say, now let me tell you something. Would you talk to your friend like this? Or would you treat a friend like this? Do you know you're a hypocrite? You're a hypocrite, and that's bad. You see, you are what you really are by the way you treat your brother and sister, not the way you treat your best friend. What you really are is how you treat the people you live with. The rest is all either genuine extension of who you are at home, or you're a phony. You're a phony. They get along. But boy, I've been around Christian families, the kids don't get along at all. And we've just bought into the world's mentality when he said, well, you know, heck, kids will be kids. No, that's wrong. They're just what you let them be. They're just what you let them be. They're just what you decided through your laziness that they can be. Because God's reputation is important enough for you to do anything about it. Same is true with your marriage. You may think, well, we're drifting. Oh, the love's starting to die. No. You chose to let the love die. You chose to let it die. And it died. And it will die. See, I'm not saying, and you all know this. You've been around here long enough. You know me. I'm very honest. I'm very upfront with you. Now, I've had a lot of challenges in my marriage. Many times I felt like walking away. You say, well, Mark, you know, you say some of these things because you must have just the perfect marriage. I don't have a perfect marriage. You know, I'm not a perfect guy. I have a very crummy, awful, ugly, malicious flesh. It stinks. And I stick with my wife for one reason. I work out whatever problem we face for one reason. Because I don't want to bring any shame to the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be disqualified from the race. I don't want anyone to have a reason to mock at God because of me. And that's the honest to God reason. You think to yourself, love will get you through. Love won't get you through. Your love will be tested the first 24 hours you're married to them. Let alone the 17 years that I've been married to Kathy and she's been married to me. And I'll tell you right now, it's not been love for each other that got us through. It's been our absolute commitment to God. And I said, you know, I had a man one time, he came up to me. I was doing a series on parenting. And I said, you know, parents, you need to go home and tell your children. You need to look them in the eye. You need to tell them, I will never leave your mother. I will never leave your father. A couple people came up to me afterwards and said, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, I don't know what tomorrow will hold. I don't know what the next day will hold. And I looked them in the eye. That's just the point. You sure don't. And if you wait to decide when tomorrow happens, oh baby, you'll leave. Or you sure want to leave. Or you'll start to leave over time emotionally. You got to determine right now, I'm not going. I'm not going under any circumstances. Why? Why aren't I going? I'm not going because I love Jesus Christ. He paid too great a price for me to screw up His message by rebelling against Him. I love Him. I love Him, and because of that, I choose to make hard choices to love my wife and children. I choose to make hard choices to treat other people in the manner that I really don't want to treat them, but I need to treat them because it honors God. You see, that's a life of focus. That's a life of absolutes. There's no relativism here, spiritually speaking. It's an absolute. Whether you like it or not, you're God's representative. Now, I want to motivate you to be an excellent representative. There is no excuse for mediocrity. There's just no excuse for mediocrity. Excellence is what we should be about. And the way we carry ourselves in our speech, in our faith, in our love, we shouldn't be messing around. If we need help, reach out and get help. But we should be people committed to excellence. And when people see our lives, and when they get to know us, and we'll get into that next week, people getting to know us and how to do that, they ought to be able to see, smell, and taste the difference, the fragrant aroma of Jesus Christ in our lives, in the way we live. See, as Brent shared with you one time, what you commit to, you will become. I committed to this 21 years ago. I committed to this. Made a personal commitment. From now on, I will make every effort. I will strive as much as I can with the power God gives me to be the greatest I can be for Jesus Christ. So that in every way, in the way I do my job, with the excellence of our work, your work ought to be done excellently. To always tell my children, if the job isn't well done, then the job isn't done. Sometimes I ask them, is the job done or is the job well done? Sometimes it's not. And I walk them right back and say, now, do it well. Do it well. The Lord deserves your best. This isn't about me. It's about the Lord. It's about building lifelong habits when you're out there in society, kiddos, and they're watching you, that you bring fame to your Savior. Verse, I'll give you in Isaiah chapter 26. It's verse 8. It says, yes, Lord, walking in your ways, we wait for you. Your fame and renown are the desire of our hearts. As one motivating factor in my life, that's to make Christ famous. And that ought to be the motivating factor in all your lives. We have the same mission. All of us have been given. I want to make Christ famous. I want to make Christ popular. I want to make Christ respected. I care about people knowing him all over the world. Now, we're going to go to the world. We've got to eventually get to the world. But it starts right now, today, tonight, with the decision that you make as to how you're going to live the rest of your life and how you're going to live tomorrow and how you're going to live the next day. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husband, whether he's worthy of it or not. Husbands, love your wife, whether she's lovable or not. You do it because it's the right thing to do, because God wants you and I to be a fantastic billboard for Him. He's worthy of that. You singles, do you know? It's easy to spend your whole life checking out the opposite sex. You got better things to do than that. You got better things to do. This is not a game. You live your life with integrity. What kind of reputation do you want in the church? Guys, you're the guy's always looking for the girls? Or you're a guy who's always looking to honor God? You couples, you think about the way you live your life. Do you have a reputation for having an immaculate lawn? Or do you have a reputation for immaculate living in the way you live your life? People are the most important thing on the planet. There's nothing more important on the planet than people. We are in a people business. And you better get good at it. You and I need to be excellent at it. We need to know what it is that people respond to. We need to know how to develop our people skills. And some of us, folks, I just got to tell you, we got some real bad social habits. You got to look in the mirror. You don't know how to look somebody in the eye when you talk to them. You're looking at your feet. Some of you, the answer to the phone, I just can't believe what some of the stuff's on your phone machines. I've called you. I'm just telling you right now. Change it. Change it. Somebody's going to think you're a whacked out individual. Some of you, the way you answer the phone, hello? Yeah. Is this a Christian? Yeah, what do you want? Think about this. Can you live with yourself that Gap, the people work at Gap answer the phone better than you? And you represent God? You don't think about these things, do you? I'm helping you think about these things tonight. You know, isn't it pleasant when you walk up, you know, maybe a child's about 2 or 3, you know, maybe they're younger, but kids respond a little differently, and you walk up and say hi, and they don't say hi to nobody. We've always taught our children, hey, you don't treat people with disrespect. That's rude. That's rude. If you walked up to me, said hi, and I went, man, what would that be? Is that rude, or is that kind? Is that nice? Is that nice? Now I realize some little children are shy and some adults are kind of scary. So I'm not saying every, you know, the kid's got to be perfect. But what do you want to teach your children well, as the song goes? What do you want them to know? And why do you want them to know it? You understand? I hope you're getting excited about this. Some of you can't wait to kill me after the service. I really don't care. I hope your wheels are spinning and you're starting to get a little uncomfortable in your chair, doggone it. I went out of here. I wish you'd shut up. I don't like this. And I hope you go home tonight and you can't sleep once again and your wheels start to spin as you think about, every time I give George a ride and, you know, to work in the car, I got to move 75 cans, throw all the junk in the back. That just should not have happened. But you laugh, but you know what Proverbs says? It says, I passed by the field of a sluggard and the walls were broken down and the thistles were overgrown. And so I looked and I paused and I learned a lesson. A little sleep, a little folding of the hands, and your want comes in like a vagabond. Some of you are as lazy as the sky is blue. We're undisciplined, and the world looks at us, and they think, if that's Christianity, if that's the way Christians are, I'm sorry, I don't want any. Folks, I'm really serious about this. You go home and you read the scriptures yourself. I gave you the verses. You get the tape. You couldn't write notes tonight because the lights were out. Some of you just aren't trained to take notes. That's fine. But you can get the tape and you go over these verses. You study these things. I've given 21 years of my life to these things. And what I'm telling you, it's biblical. It's right here in the Word of God. We need to start evaluating everything we do in our lives and why we do it. Why we do it. Next week, I'll get into this even more. I'm going to have to cram a lot into next week. So many things I want to share with you. There's a lot of tapes in the tape library, though, by the way. You can get on this Winning Ways, Carrying the Essence of Our Gospel. There's just a whole lot of things you can get on these particular things. But I want you to go home. And I want you to ask yourself this week this question. Do I really take my calling seriously? Do I really want people watching me? What kind of testimony have I been? Well, you know, the past is the past. What kind of testimony do I want to be tomorrow? What kind of family do I want anyway? Actually, what kind of family does God want me to have? What kind of marriage does God want me to have? What kind of thought life does God want me to have? You know, folks, most of these things are cultivated in your mind. And believe it or not, you may not think your thoughts are showing, but gee, they show in an awful lot of us. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The life is lived. Our behavior flows from the way we think or the way we don't. Please think about these things. You and I can make a difference in human lives. We can make a difference in human lives. I have a friend. I'll close with this little story, but just to illustrate, I have this friend in Honduras. And my friend works for Crowley Incorporated. They're this huge shipping company. And he has these quotas, and he's got to go out and he's got to get these big ships filled. It's like semi-trailers and trains, only it's ships. And he's their sales. He's been promoted to their sales manager. He manages all the salespeople of Latin America. And they have people come in that train them how to sell effectively, to train them how to look. They have a dress code. They have a standard how they all have to look. And they had a guy come in one day, and he got up in front of all of them, and he said, do you know what the first thing people notice when they see it? This is research study. I'm not making this up. This is a research study. People said, well, you know, your suit, your clothes, your smile, your watch, your shoes. Wrong, wrong, wrong. People are kind of twisting. What? He said, you know the first thing people notice? Your hair. Your hair. And Crowley has a standard for everybody's hair. I always tell my wife, I've told my children, since they're very little, you take care of yourself. Daughters, I've told this to my daughters, because girls are a little notorious at this. I'm sorry if I'm a little sexist here. Guys, you can be too. Some of us really need some help. But girls, it's really interesting. You know, they can, one day, they can. You can always tell when they're looking for a guy or wanting to get engaged, and then after they get married, you can always tell. I can always tell. No, I can tell. You can stone me later, but I can just tell. I tell my wife, I said, now, Why would we go to the, I tell my daughters, why would you go to the grocery store like that? That's the world, and Christ is the person we represent. And I've run into people at the grocery store who look like they just rolled out of bed. Now I don't want anyone to take me wrong. See, I know some of you are really getting hot now. See, here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to know. I'm not making fun of you. And I'm not saying you can't be casual. I'm just saying you ought to take care of yourself for a higher purpose than this man who does to sell and make a few ships loaded to go back and forth across the ocean. You know what the Bible says to Samuel? We love this verse. It says, God does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We go, my heart, my heart. Look at my heart, look at my heart. Yeah, but you missed the first part of the verse. See, God's already saved. Man looks at the outward appearance. See? Man looks the outward appearance. Now, I'm not saying, don't anybody miss... I'm not saying we should all be Barbie dolls and Ken dolls. That's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying we should be the best you can be. One day I was telling my children this. I said, now kids, I'm telling you. You know, we kind of have a code. You go down, you get ready for the day. You brush your teeth, you fix your hair, you make your bed. That's before you do. This is what you do in the morning. You get ready for the day. You never know who might visit. The mayor might come sometime. 3 months later, the mayor knocked on our front door. I'm not joking. In person, my house. And I might add, we were ready that day. We were ready. But there have been days we weren't. So, you know, I'm saying we're aiming at an 80 to 90% rate here. That's what we're trying to go for, you know. Perfection is something that's impossible. Right? Guys, you know, I shave twice a day and I don't even have a thick beard. I shave in the morning, and then if I'm going to go meet people in the evening, I shave again. I mean, I just take all this very seriously. You know, you think I'm joking about some of these things, but I kid you not. I was in a mall in Indianapolis with a close friend of mine. We're busy. It's Christmas time. I'm walking along, and three people stopped me. Said, stop! I don't even know him. I go, can I touch your hair? Can I? Wow! It's the truth! Now, I'm not telling you to make your hair like mine. I'm not telling you that. All the reason I'm telling you that is I just blew my mind. Somebody noticed. In fact, sometimes women will come up and go like this, and I'll go, that's harassment. Isn't that harassment? I mean, do you want me to do that to your hair, ladies? So, I mean, can I touch your hair? No, you can't touch. I don't care. Jeez. You know, it just feels like a brush. That's all it feels like. Just take a brush, turn it upside down, and it feels like a brush. I hope you take... I mean this in loving, good humor. I really do. I just want you to consider it. I want you to think about it. What I'm really trying to get at is how seriously do we take representing Christ? Do we want the world to show us up? Do we want people at IBM to take the reputation of IBM more seriously than we take the Lord? I don't. And I really don't believe any of us do either. And if we will take this seriously, we can make a huge difference in the Twin Cities. Lord, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for your grace. Lord, help us. Help me in this. I want to excel still more. I want all of us to excel, Lord. I didn't want to hurt any person's feelings. I really want us just to think. Lord, just to think. To take your word, to run this race, to win it. Not to come in second or third, but to win it, as Paul said. Bless these folks. Use them this week. Might they gain you a good reputation this week by the way they live. In Jesus' name.